President Trump today continued his rhetorical campaign against Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro as a large American naval force sits in the waters off the coast. Mr. Trump sent a social media broadside last night against Maduro, which he reiterated today. The U.S., he says, will actively blockade and seize vessels it had already sanctioned, a move some critics have called an act of war. Nick Schifrin starts our coverage.
In the Caribbean Sea, U.S. troops at the ready for a new mission with more targets. American-sanctioned Venezuelan oil tankers. Last night on Truth Social, President Trump promised a, quote, total and complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers going into and out of Venezuela.
Just a blockade. I'm not going to let anybody going through that shouldn't be going through.
Already last week, the Coast Guard and military boarded and seized a tanker. There are more than 30 such tankers off the Venezuelan coast, a ghost fleet of ships that Venezuela has used to evade oil sanctions. That pressures Venezuela's chief source of revenue. There are estimates that 90% of the economy is based on oil exports, and U.S. officials believe challenging that weakens Maduro's grip on power and could force him to step down.
So how far would you go to take Maduro out of office?
I don't want to say that, but...
But you want to see him out?
His days are numbered.
A blockade is an act of war.
But on the Hill today, Democrats demanded that Congress vote on and reject direct military action against Venezuela.
My preference would be that there be a better leader than Maduro in place. But that's not to say we can displace him by military means.
A blockade also opposed today by Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum.
La posición de México.
We reiterate Mexico's position according to our constitution of non-intervention, no foreign interference, self-determination of peoples, and peaceful resolution of controversies.
But President Trump is making clear another U.S. priority. The U.S.'s historic interest in Venezuelan oil and gas. The country has the world's largest oil reserves, which the U.S. helped develop exactly one century ago. But former leader Hugo Chavez kicked out some U.S. and other foreign energy companies before his death in 2013. Today, only Chevron remains. And Trump yesterday wrote that the U.S. will not allow a hostile regime to take our oil, land, or any other assets, all of which must be returned to the United States immediately.
You remember they took all of our energy rights, they took all of our oil from not that long ago, and we want it back, but they took it. They illegally took it.
To that, Maduro accuses the U.S. of resource colonialism.
Y la derecha!
We tell the people of the United States our truth, and it is very clear. Imperialism and the Nazi fascist right wing want to colonize Venezuela to take our wealth. Oil, gas, gold, iron, aluminum, and other minerals. Not blood for oil, not war for oil. The claims about drug trafficking are fake news, a lie, an excuse.
For years, the U.S.'s pressure on Maduro was political. But now the U.S. is treating his regime as a national security threat and possible military target, raising the stakes even higher. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.
For one perspective on the latest Trump administration move against Venezuela, we turn to David Smildy, professor and chair of the sociology department at Tulane University. He has written extensively about Venezuela for over three decades. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
You've called this latest move to block Venezuelan oil exports misguided at best. Why? Especially when the administration makes the case that this is the best way to pressure the Maduro regime.
Well, I think this will indeed pressure the Maduro regime. The problem is that these kind of sectoral sanctions on Venezuela affect the entire economy. So they affect the people even more than they affect Maduro. And this is what we've seen since 2017. We've had sanctions and they've affected Maduro, but they've actually strengthened his hand vis-a-vis the population. Basically gives him more control, more discretional control over what resources do flow in. And we've seen this in the case of Cuba as well. Over a half century of sanctions have actually solidified the Communist Party there. And so I think it's deeply misguided in that way. In terms of trying to generate some kind of change. And it also is going to have a huge humanitarian impact. I mean, Venezuela's oil is the heartblood of the economy, and this could end up generating a famine in Venezuela.
Well, a question about the overall strategy, because for years, U.S. policy has rested on this idea that economic pain would trigger an internal revolt, especially within the military. Why hasn't that happened?
it does cause economic pain. But that economic pain is distributed across the whole country. And the people that are most able to withstand that pain are precisely Nicolas Maduro and the people around him. No, he's very good at divvying up rewards and making sure that they get the best of everything while everyone else in the country suffers the sanctions. That it essentially sort of increases, if you want to think about it this way, increases Maduro's ratio of power over the population. So it's not going to lead to change.
And when President Trump frames Venezuelan oil as U.S. oil on U.S. land, how does that rhetoric strike the ear of the Venezuelan public?
Well, it's really puzzling to understand what he actually means by this. No, it's there's no jurisprudence in Venezuela or the United States that would suggest that the oil belongs to anybody other than Venezuelan people. And this is something that is sort of the center of Venezuelan culture. I've been surprised just today with my Venezuelan colleagues, discussing with them how many of them who are fervent government opponents are outraged by this entire discourse. No, this is what Chavismo has been saying for 25 years, has been saying, you know, if the U.S. criticizes democracy or human rights in Venezuela, they will always say it's about the oil. The United States even, you know, really wants the oil, even when it was not about that. And so now Trump comes along and says, well, it really is about the oil. I mean, you can't imagine a discourse that fits better with Chavismo's whole idea, what they've been saying for 25 years.
If sanctions and threats can't produce the desired result, what does history tell us has a better chance of working in a case like Venezuela?
I think all of this pressure that President Trump has put on Maduro and on Venezuela is real pressure. They are feeling real pressure, could be used to try and negotiate. The thing is, simply negotiating Maduro's exit is probably not going to work. No, people tend to think, oh, this is a criminal government, so just, you know, pay him off and get him to leave and they'll do that. But, you know, these people really think that they are the bearers of Hugo Chavez's revolution, and they want to pertain, they see that as an anti-imperialist revolution. So they really want to see this government continue. I think some kind of negotiation that not only provides for their safety and their exit, but also for the continuation of Chavismo, perhaps some sort of co-government during a couple of years. There's a number of proposals that are circulating that I think could be difficult. They would be difficult. There's no guarantee that they will work. But compared to what is being proposed from the Trump administration, I think there'd be much better ways to go.
So bottom line, when Americans hear that the Trump administration is exerting more pressure on Venezuela, what can the American people realistically expect in terms of outcome?
I don't expect any real outcome. I think in terms of if they're going to go forward with this kind of blockade of sanctioned oil vessels, this could cause a humanitarian catastrophe within Venezuela, and we will be seeing images of that. If there's some sort of effort at a military strike, no, I think minimal military strikes of the type that are being discussed would not lead to democracy. I think they would lead to chaos, some kind of chaos like we see in Haiti right now, because there's so many armed actors within Venezuela that have their hands in illicit markets that, you know, and who are compromised by human rights abuses or corruption or other crimes, who really fear a transition. So I think you would see some sort of chaos if that happened. The one possibility is if the President Trump could use all this pressure to try to negotiate some sort of reasonable transition that would have to include Chavismo in some way.
David Smildy, professor at Tulane University, thanks again for your time this evening.
Thank you.